Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. And I want to say, it is so nice out. It is like May nice out. So if you
a bird just ran into my window.
Seriously?
Yeah, like the birds think it's spring.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. So if you have a chance to go take your dog for a walk or just go for a walk or open up a window, enjoy it. It's not supposed to be like this, but it is. So enjoy it. As she does every Thursday at this time, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for our public cervix announcement. How are you, my friend?
I am well. The sun just came out in Green Bay and it is like blue sky, beautiful. You know, everything you said, like climate change is here. We know it. But hey, what can we do?
What can we do? Exactly. And we're not out of the woods yet. We're going to get another couple more cold snaps. And this is what Mother Nature does. It's just it's her thing. It's yeah. her it's her earth. We just get to live on it.
That's right. Her earth, baby.
God, you sound like a bunch of hippies.
Hey, man. We're just dipping our toes in Mother Earth's tea, baby.
We're just jealous. It's not his earth.
We're wearing fringe and headbands. That's what we do.
Groovy.
All right. We have talked about this before, but the numbers are really, really shocking. The number of cases of syphilis in this country, Dr. Lyerly, continue exploding.
We've talked about this before, as you said, but it's the headline on all of the medical newspapers again today. Cases have risen 80% since 2018.
80%?
Yes. It's the highest rate since the 50s. There were over 207,000 cases in 2022. More than 3,700 cases of congenital syphilis, that's syphilis in pregnancy, which is 11 times the number that were recorded a decade ago. How crazy is that?
That just blows my mind. First of all, what are the ramifications of syphilis? What does that mean if you are diagnosed with syphilis?
It means a lot of different things, but another number that I wanted to share, and I'm not like all that into numbers, but this one's an important one. In 2022, 231 stillbirths and 51 infant deaths were a result of syphilis. So this is something that if we have a better public health response to this rising syphilis crisis, we will save babies' lives. This is a real opportunity for us. And we've seen the Biden administration respond. The CDC has gotten involved and changed guidelines. The FDA is importing more meds to treat this. HHS is working on it. Biden developed a task force to go into some of the high need areas. So the government is working on it. But from a public health perspective, we really need to get the word out. Use condoms. We think condom use is way down. And we also think that because substance use is up, that means that people are taking more chances. Yeah, more risks, more risky behavior. So we've got a lot of reasons why this is happening. And of course, you know, it's a disease that spreads from one person to another, and it just multiplies like that. So if we can get information out there, if we can prevent the spread, if we can treat it, then we'll start heading in the other direction.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest, as she is every Thursday at this time for our public cervix announcement. Tragically, we're talking about the exploding rate of syphilis cases in this country. So what are the ramifications? If I get syphilis, what does that mean?
Oh, yeah, the original question that you asked. Sorry.
That's okay. So
20 minutes later.
Untreated. Well, syphilis is very treatable. It just takes penicillin. I mean, basic penicillin. But if it's untreated, it can damage your heart. It can damage your brain. It can cause blindness and deafness and paralysis. And typically, these are things that happen down the road. Early on, the symptoms may not be that striking. It may be a rash. It may be a sore. There are different stages of syphilis. But if it's not treated, it can live inside your body for years and years and come back to strike you in very unsuspecting ways as you get older.
There's no shame in going to get tested for this.
No, if you've had unprotected sex, if you've had numerous partners, just get the blood test because it really, it can absolutely not only save your life, but provide a higher quality of life. You know, if we can treat this easily and prevent blindness, deafness, all of these neurological issues down the road, heart issues. I mean, how great is that? How easy is that? But that requires you to go to your doctor and say, I would just like to get the blood test for syphilis.
Yeah. And again, there ain't no shame in that. It's far, far worse to be embarrassed by it and do nothing about it. If you are concerned about it, you absolutely need to find out and get, like you said, Dr. Lyerly, this is treatable. This isn't a death sentence. It doesn't have to be.
Well, and syphilis is just one of those things. Just because it's a sexually transmitted infection, that's one thing you can get a blood test for. But you can also go to your doctor for your routine preventive exam and get a blood test for cholesterol or thyroid disease or all of those other things that we can screen for. And if we diagnose a problem, we can treat it. And if we treat a problem, we reduce your risk of death and we increase your happiness factor and your ability to live your life in a healthy, meaningful way. But that requires you to go to your doctor and get those preventive tests.
Yeah. Again, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed.
You don't have to tell anybody unless...
You need to tell your doctor.
Well, you need to tell your doctor. And if you find something, your partner after that, it's not like you have to go broadcast the information. So this can be a private thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's important that you lead that conversation because for us as doctors, there are certain things that we know we need to do. Like, you know, we've got a list of tests and a list of questions that we need to ask you. That's pretty straightforward. We check your blood pressure and listen to your heart and do all that stuff. But we don't know what you're worried about. We don't know what happens in your world that puts you at risk for certain things. And often we don't know what's going on in your family. So if there's domestic abuse or violence, if there are family history issues with cancer or other things, we want all that information because we don't want to treat you like a checklist.
Yeah.
We want to treat you holistically like a whole human being. So the more information you can bring, the better our shared decision-making is and the better we can proceed forward as we're trying to figure out what do you as a human being in the world need to live your life in a meaningful way.
If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, you can call, you can text at 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment there on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And Dr. Lyerly, as Greg pointed out before you joined the show, this doesn't have to be a female-only health question.
It doesn't. We can talk about anything. Maybe I don't know the answer. Maybe we have to talk about it in a future segment, but that's okay. I don't know everything, and neither does your doctor. Actually, none of us do. So let's have the conversation. Get that question out there so that we can have that, so we can figure out the answer either now or in the future.
Yeah, or on a different episode down the road. We did have one commenter on the live stream mention female ED. Now, erectile dysfunction is certainly something that we talk about regarding men. What is female ED?
Isn't it funny you see those signs like for Viagra and all those other things like at sporting events? And, you know, that like there's no shame there. But women also we start out embryologically as the same thing. And it's really our hormones that differentiate us. Did you know, by the way, that women, like female is the default gender of an embryo?
Yeah. And then there's some strange aberration and we don't know what happened.
Then like a man, I got to be like, nope, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way.
Those male hormones come into play. And that's what helps form all of the male, you know, the penis and the prostate and all those sexual organs of the male versus the organs of the female. But so men obviously have a penis that can get erect. Women have a clitoris that can get erect. And the clitoris is the female version of the penis. So it's different though. It's different as adults. So for men, it's as simple in many cases as taking Viagra or whatever that medication is. For women, Viagra doesn't really work. We can sometimes get the clitoris to engorge in the same way that a penis engorges when it becomes erect. But for women, it's more complicated. We often deal with desire issues or arousal issues or orgasmic disorders or pain associated with orgasm and sex, and all of those things factor into a female's inability sometimes to enjoy intercourse. It's not as complicated for men.
Right.
So the trick for women is figuring out what is it, which piece of that is preventing you from achieving satisfaction.
Well, and isn't it also, Dr. Lyerly, and maybe I've got this wrong, but seduction begins with a woman in her brain,
mm-hmm.
not her body.
The body is important,
but
the brain has to be on board.
Yeah, you got to be down with this, right?
Yeah, you need the physical and the emotional piece.
There has to be that. That's where, at least personally for me, desire starts in the brain.
That spark.
Yeah, that spark. That's ooh, hmm.
Right?
Grr.
And that's specifically
what?
Grr.
Greg's mortified.
We could talk about anything at all, but you talking about grr, like, what is that?
You'll just have to imagine.
Well, this conversation is
getting spicy.
Gone astray.
Getting a little spicy. When we return, we got just a couple of minutes left. Plastics in our body. And mm-hmm. microplastics showing up in the cells of our body. What can we do? Where is it coming from? How concerned should we be about this? That and more. And again, if you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here, as she is every Thursday, for our public cervix announcement. And if you have a question for the doctor, doesn't have to be female related, just a general medical question, you can always do that. 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Some spicy things coming in on the text line from the 262. What's preventing women from getting a level of desire is being partnered with a MAGA man. Ouch.
Dang. Ouchies.
Ouchies. And this one from Andrew in Maine. Dr. Lyerly, how is your knowledge of mammalian fetal development compared to the knowledge of, say, a veterinarian?
Well, I've thought about that a lot lately, Andrew, in fact. And yeah, I think I know a few things. Yeah.
You know so many words.
I don't even know what to say about that. I've watched that clip over and over and over again. And, you know, you can tell that when he's saying it, he doesn't believe it.
And for people who aren't certain what we're referencing, there is a Republican from Wisconsin.
Representative Joel Kitchens.
Joel Kitchens. Who
great name.
Testified that as a veterinarian and all the ultrasounds he's given as a vet, that he is pretty much an expert on mammalian female development, so therefore he is the one we should listen to when it comes to a woman's right to an abortion.
And then he goes on to say that abortion is not healthcare.
Right.
And that's the thing that really sticks with me, because even in veterinary medicine, and I don't pretend to be a veteran or veterinarian, but even in animals, pregnancies are complicated, you know, like fetal animals die, like, you know, like, so it doesn't make any sense to me. None of it. But
yeah. Let's try not to make sense of it, because it'll make your brain hurt.
It does make my brain hurt.
We got a live stream comment from our great guy, Papa Rico. He said, I've got to be honest, I've always shied away from doctors, which makes sense. I know a lot of people, especially men tend to shy away from doctors. We don't want to go for our various reasons. But then he follows up with, she makes me want to go see the doctor.
Yay, Papa Rico. That's wonderful. Thank you.
That's great.
You know, I was doing the morning show with Mino and the mayor up here in Green Bay, and John Mino was telling me that his uncle would go to the doctor and just make the doctor try to guess what was wrong with him. And that was his approach. And I know that there are others out there who have the same strategy, because you think that the doctor knows so much about you just because of the tests. Yeah. And there are some things that we can figure out, but there's so much that we can't. So we can, you know, check off boxes, but we can't really provide that kind of care that you need and deserve. And ultimately, it's about living a good, healthy life. So please don't be afraid. There may be things that come up. You might have a blood pressure problem. That's okay. Lots of people do. If you do, let's make sure we treat it so that you don't die too early of heart disease, the number one killer of people in this country.
Yeah, it's critically important, and it's tough. And if you feel like you do not have a good relationship with your doctor, then find another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be a PA. It could be a nurse practitioner. Those folks often have additional time to spend. You know, sometimes doctors are kind of rushed. Whatever it is, whoever you feel comfortable with, find someone who you feel has your best interests in mind.
Yeah. It's the same way with therapists and everything like that. Just because this is the first one that you go to, I don't ever feel like you owe them.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel like the answer you're getting is not right, if something is sitting in the back of your head, like, I don't know, find somebody else. Always get a second opinion.
Carmela from Milwaukee is on the line. She has a question for you, Dr. Lyerly. Good morning, Carmela. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to ask?
Hi, good morning. I do have a question, medical question, but I wanted to kind of bring up a funny about the syphilis. I'm 59. When I was in my early 30s, I went to a dermatologist with a rash on my inner thigh, and she had students with her, and the students, about six of them, saw me first, medical students, and they looked at it, and one of them said, oh, that's definitely syphilis, as he's walking out of the room, and then they left
me in
the exam room for like 45 minutes, and I'm like, freaking out. Now, I was calming myself because I was in a long-term relationship, and for birth control, I was using condoms at the time. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, it'll be okay. And then, so the dermatologist comes in and I said, is this syphilis? Like right away. And she laughed and she goes, who told you that? And then one of the students behind her is like, me. Oh. And then she's like, no. And she's laughing, you know, but anyway.
You don't get to be a doctor anymore.
Yeah, it was funny. But speaking of medical students, I was on the fly. It was probably maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I was hearing about a medical student talking about leaving Wisconsin because not being able to perform abortions, and then saying that she, and again, I don't know who this is. I was on the fly. I haven't looked it up, but she was saying she's leaving because she cannot do late-term abortions. And then the right, that's one of their talking points, is that they're having abortions all the way up till delivery day. And it infuriates me every time I hear this. And I've heard you talk before that the medical term is abortion, but there are different circumstances. Can you explain that to us or to me? Because I get infuriated every time I hear it.
Thank you so much for the question, Carmela. We got about 2.5 minutes left. Dr. Lyerly, go.
Yeah. So late term abortion is a divisive term. You know, abortion, as I've said many, many times, abortion care is healthcare. We don't perform abortions up until the moment of birth and sometimes after, which is just a conservative talking point. It's ridiculous. But the impact of not being able to perform or access abortion care in Wisconsin, which is still a huge problem throughout much of the state. You know, we've got clinics in Milwaukee and Madison and now Sheboygan, but much of the state is without access to abortion care. And that means that people are not getting care for their miscarriages. They're struggling to get care for their infertility treatments, and they're struggling with complicated pregnancies. And there are a lot of young people who are wondering, is it safe for me to get pregnant in Wisconsin if I know that I'm not going to be able to get the care that I need? And medical students are wondering, if I can't provide my patients with health care, should I stay here in practice? So this isn't about just being able to do an abortion, or certainly like an abortion late in pregnancy. This is about providing health care, and it's scaring healthcare providers out of the state. It's scaring young people out of the state.
Does that answer your question, Carmela?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. We are just about out of time. We will talk about plastics next week.
Plastics and so much more. Yeah, tell us what you want to hear about. We can talk about anything.
It's like we're having like a fun go. Plastics. Great. I'm in Delaware.
buy a nice water cup and use that. Don't buy plastic bottles.
Glass, stainless steel.
Steel, all that stuff is
so much better.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so very much for joining us for our public cervix announcement. We will see you next. We're going to see you tomorrow, actually. She's going to join us tomorrow for a special segment.
Heck yeah.
At 11:06. Ladies, we're going to want you to join in on that too. That's tomorrow.
Let's go, ladies.
News is next. And when we return, Paul Noonan, sports guru with the Acme Pecking Company. We're talking all things sports balls. That's on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Shout outs to everybody in Madison listening on WMDX or in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR. If you ever have a question or a comment, you can call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Acme Packing Company's sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Thank you. All kinds of news about the Packers have a new defensive coordinator. That's kind of the big one, right?
That is the big one. People were sort of waiting for all the dominoes to fall, and they ended up going with Jeff Hafley, who is Boston College's head coach most recently, and not on anybody's radar for this. There were sort of a set group of like five possible defensive coordinators out there, and nobody saw this one coming. In retrospect, we maybe should have. Hafley does have some experience in the past with a lot of Packer-connected people and with LaFleur, who we worked with in San Francisco. He actually worked under Mike Pettine, two defensive coordinators ago for the Packers, when he was with the Cleveland Browns in 2016. And it's hard to say if he's a good hire yet or not. Defensive coordinators are tricky to judge sight unseen. But what I can tell you guys 100% is he will be completely different than Joe Barry. They run almost opposite schemes. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's good, but it will be a complete changeover from what they've been running for the past 3 years.
So is this going to make all the Joe Barry fans happy? I mean, just because it will be considerably different, or is that just going to give them something else to whine about? It's like, this is completely different. What are we doing?
Paul, I'll take this one. They're going to whine.
They will whine, and I'll tell you why they're going to whine. So here's why it's different. Barry's defense is predicated on theoretically not giving up big plays. They did that, but it's supposed to stop them. Making the offense run as many plays as possible to score, and over the course of those plays, hoping the offense makes a mistake, a sack, a holding penalty, something like that. This defense will almost certainly be much more aggressive. Halfley plays man-to-man in the secondary much more frequently. They tend to be much more aggressive with their pass rush in his past defenses, including at Boston College. And so you're likely to see, not those soft zones on third down where teams routinely pick up like 16 yards against Joe Barry. That's less likely to happen because they're going to meet a quarterback's face more quickly than that. And our DBs are going to be on their receivers all the way through the front parts of their routes. Where defenses like this tend to struggle every so often is in giving up really big plays. Like big 50-yard bombs against man defenses do happen. He plays a lot of cover zero. Quarterbacks in the NFL are occasionally very good against that. Patrick Mahomes tears up cover zero. Actually, Aaron Rodgers is a specialist against that, just with those, precision deep passes. And so what you likely see is more turnovers generated, probably more punts, but also more highlight reel touchdowns. And that's where the whiners will come in. And I think it's important to remember with Halfley, that is part of the deal. And you have to kind of look at the total package. Are they creating more punts and getting more turnovers than they did under Barry to offset the occasional highlight reel like touchdown that they're likely to give up?
Paul Noonan is our guest. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. This might be a silly question, Paul, but when these guys are hired and they come with their strategy and their plan, are they welded to this? It's like, this is my plan. I take it everywhere I go and I cannot change the plan.
The good ones are not. And that's another one of Barry's problems as well. He was very much wedded to his plan and brought it out in very inappropriate situations. It's one of the reasons the Packers lost to the Giants and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year, that the Barry scheme is terrible for playing both of those teams, and they ran it, and that's bad. The best, if you're an offensive coordinator, where you have the ball, you gotta get to dictate where it goes, your scheme is more important. Like, you can make things happen based on that. The defensive side is very different. It is very much more based on people you have in the field and your ability to change on the fly. Your scheme is like an opening in chess. After the game starts, it can go completely out the window. At least it should be able to if the other team is able to exploit certain parts of it. And that's why it is hard to judge these guys, because until you actually see how he manages in-game in an NFL scenario when he's in charge, we don't know. He may be another by-the-book, stick-to-his-guns-and-gets-exploited kind of guy. We've had a few of those lately, like Patton's that way too. But what you're hoping for is a dynamic, creative thinker who does adjust on the fly. Those are the best guys. Those are the ones you want to keep.
Absolutely. I can't imagine why you have to be adaptable. As you said, Paul, every team has different strengths. Every team has different breakout players and things like that. You can't apply the same paint job to an entirely different kind of house.
You cannot.
Paul Noonan is our guest from the Acme Packing Company, talking about the Packers hiring a new defensive coordinator. I do want to talk about the Super Bowl matchup coming up, Paul. Greg and I both very disappointed that the Lions got knocked out. I think a lot of people were kind of rooting for the underdogs. And now, Greg, we're with the Chiefs. We're going Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If nothing else, for the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce making people not so factor.
It's really the only thing, guys. Here's the thing is, I didn't have an opinion of Travis Kelce a year ago. Now I realize between him and his brother just being good dudes, funny, nice guys, and I've always liked Taylor Swift. Of course I'm going to root for Kansas City. Of course I'm going to.
There's also the revenge factor. The 49ers did knock us out, and that's no fun.
Yeah.
I will say it's all personal preference. We know when you're not a fan of either team, but I will also be pulling for Kansas City in this game just because I do like it when sort of the legacy, if we're not going to get it, I want Mahomes just to stack them up. I want to be, if we end up developing this team and going to Super Bowls in the future, it's better to be able to say, like, you knocked off like a dynasty than like a bunch of random teams just winning in and out. That makes you feel like you lost your opportunity. And also, I'm no longer convinced that Brock Purdy's that good on the San Francisco side, and maybe he starts to get exploited a little bit. So I also like Kansas City in that one. It will be
that name.
A little bit.
I'm curious, Paul, you know lots of sports guys, other sports reporters, and have you talked to any who are melting down about this? Travis and Taylor are a psyop, and it's the ludicrousness. It's just gone
Yes. So I haven't really run into anybody else who is overreacting to that. I feel like a lot of the people I talk to are sort of like, well, this is just very smart by the NFL. If it is, first of all, whether it's genuine or not, I don't care about the lives of celebrities at all. But whether it is or not, it's just smart of the NFL to have Taylor at games. It generates a huge amount of interest. It generates jersey sales. It makes the sport, which is already for an American sport, you know, a sort of national phenomenon, an international phenomenon, like 10 times more than that, especially for the Super Bowl coming up. She's going to be there. You're going to get, I think, huge international ratings for this for that reason alone. And I've seen some of the Fox News PSYOP stuff. Just ridiculous. I don't even know how we've gotten to this.
Seriously, right?
For them, I do this. I read an article that said that because of Taylor Swift's involvement with Travis Kelce, her being in the line sight of the NFL, her presence has generated over $330 million in various monies to the NFL, the Chiefs, all these, like, it has an impact. And if they win, it's going to be insanity.
I have fairly small kids who are still in elementary school.
Yeah.
And the amount of just Travis Kelce jerseys you see on people generally, and also girls, it's got to be a huge coup for them just in generating a potentially another group of lifelong fans who they maybe wouldn't have had an opportunity to grab before. So it's just smart from everybody all around.
Yeah.
I'm sure Taylor Swift is getting the most out of it as well, as she is an outstanding businesswoman alongside being a good artist. And this is just smart business more than anything else.
Oh, Paul, she's just in it for the money. She needs Travis Kelce's money.
That's her
plane. Also hilarious.
That's her plane gas money. Paul, we got a question from Tony Zimmerman asking about going back to the Packers. Outside of Alexander, do the Packers have the man-to-man corners to handle that?
Good question.
Yeah.
So I actually am not that worried about their corners. That is definitely Jair Alexander's preferred method of playing. He likes to be up in everybody's face. Carrington Valentine's actually also a really good man corner. He is, if anything, overly aggressive at sticking like glue on guys, getting handsy with them. So the two corners that they're bringing back and who are the likely starters for next year are adept at this. Eric Stokes, not so much, but I think he might be done. So less of a concern at this point. Stokes, I don't think, really rebounded from his injury that well. And if they're counting on plans going forward, they're probably not anymore. Where they're likely to struggle is safety. Where this defense also gets tricky is in the run-stop responsibilities. And you kind of need thumpers in the middle of the field at linebacker and at safety to play run defense, because all the corners are running with their guys, turning their backs. The guys in the middle are really responsible for run defense. And so our safeties weren't good anyway. They weren't good at man or zone or anything. They were all afterthought special teams guys. They're going to need to get a few thumper safeties in this draft to make this work.
Paul, for the couple of minutes we have left, let's talk Rhys Hoskins.
Rhys Hoskins, the Brewers made a signing, and a pretty good one. So,
yay!
The Brewers, I think, have an unwarranted reputation for being extra cheap. They're certainly not big spenders. They're not going to go out and get Shohei Ohtani. But in the past, in the recent past, they have signed guys like Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal, and going back a little further, Lorenzo Cain, Zach Greinke. They will actually shell out for mid to upper level free agents with some regularity. And Rhys Hoskins is kind of that. First of all, the reason he was available is he did suffer an ACL injury last year. He missed all of the 2023 season with an injury. But before that, he was a very productive first baseman. He is like a top 10 first baseman. And the Brewers haven't had a top 10 first baseman in just forever. Like since Prince Fielder, probably. So,
oh my goodness. Seriously?
Yeah. I thought Eric Thames was pretty good.
He was for a year and a half.
Then we got rid of him for no reason.
Yes, everybody they pick up is good for like a year and a half at most. Like Jesus Aguilar, good, and then not anymore. And that's kind of their MO. Hoskins is a reliable 2 to 3 win player in nerd speak. And to get that in the free agent market is actually pretty difficult. I would say in terms of projected free agents at the corner, so DH, third base, or first base, he was probably one of the two best they could have gotten, the only other one being Matt Chapman, who is still available and plays third base primarily. He's not a huge power guy. He's like, when he's right, like a 20 to 30 home run first baseman. His calling card is really getting on base. He typically gets on base at a 350-ish clip, which brings plenty of value when you hit like 25 doubles and 25 home runs. And he's a decent enough defensive player. So that's a good get for them. It is a friendly contract to everybody involved. If he struggles a little bit, there's an option where he can opt into.
No, we just.
Oh, no. Getting paid there he is.
If he's super good, he can opt out, which is what they tend to do. But hopefully they can also work on a deal if they like what the fit is. But it makes them notably better. And the Brewers are bringing back a good core and should be an outstanding team again this year, much like what they were last year, with a little bit better offense if things break right. So,
well, it would make Greg very, very happy to see the Brewers do a little better.
And
just to feel like the owners actually want to win.
I completely agree. I would love to clinch the division and go in not on a wild card, go right in there and make it. I don't see why this team in a season or two can't make it to the NLCS again. I mean, it's just with the right group, we can do this. We can do it.
Let's not underrate that Churio signing.
Oh, absolutely.
If he's very young, he may not be breakout right away. But they have the makings of a good team for quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's looking good.
Paul Noonan with the Acme Packing Company joins us every other Thursday, and we kick around all things sports. Thank you so very much, Paul. I think there's an opening for a parody song. Travis and Taylor, you should get on it.
I will. I actually did make one last week.
You did? I'll send you an email.
I'll shoot it over.
All right, sounds good. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sports, go sports! May the competitors you prefer best their opposing equivalents, so you can somehow feel connected to the feed of your self-appointed constituents. May the hours you spend watching post-match pontificators amplify the thrill of being...
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Want to give a shout out to everyone listening right now in Madison, WMDX, and in WRCE. News from the center in Richland Center.
Hey, Richland Center.
I did want to do a little housekeeping here quickly, Greg Bach.
Yeah.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here every Thursday at 11 for a public service announcement, and you are always encouraged to send in questions. If you have a question for her, it doesn't have to be OBGYN related. It can be a general medical question. And we did have a texter from 262 listening here on WAUK who has a question about white coat syndrome. And we didn't have an opportunity to bring this up to Dr. Lyerly, but we will next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Because this is, my mother had that.
I don't know what it is.
White coat syndrome means when you go into the doctor, you get so nervous that your blood pressure goes kapoof.
That actually happened to me once. Last time I gave blood, they did my blood pressure and everything. They said, "This is too high." I'm like, "I don't know what to tell you." And they said, "I'll come back in 15 minutes."
And was it better?
It was better. Yeah.
But this is not an uncommon. This is not an uncommon thing. So. 262 texter, we will get to that question next week.
Yeah.
I know you are not alone. White coat syndrome. My blood pressure goes sky high when I see my doctor. Once I'm at the doctor, it goes down to somewhat normal. At home, it's normal. I try to think of happy things.
Yeah. And I'm sure that at this point in medical practicing, a lot of doctors can take that in consideration to what you're doing. I mean, I'm not comparing this listener to a dog, but when Maybell got her blood panel done, one of the tests they said was a little bit high, and they said the vet said it's because she's here,
because she's nervous.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure doctors of human mammalian things will be able to tell and be able to alter the thoughts.
Mammal schmammal. I mean, we're all mammals, right?
Mammal schmammal.
Mammal schmammal. It's all the mammals are all the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You heard it here first, folks. And thank you. That's been our show. Goodbye forever.
Just a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to talk about this because I just think it's funny, and I think it's important that we all have a good laugh every once in a while. This is a tradition in Minnesota. The Minnesota Department of Transportation does this every year, and they take nominations to name snowplows.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't do this.
You know what? Sometimes I don't think Wisconsin is... I'm going to say this, and I might get in trouble, but I don't care. I don't think like we're totally fun. Sometimes I feel like in the cause of good work and hard work, put your head down and work, we forego some of the funness.
That hurts me.
You're fun. You're just, very fun.
I lived in Minnesota. I went to school in Minnesota. I had my first job in radio in Minnesota. Okay,
so?
We are way more fun. Wisconsinites are more fun than Minnesota.
Okay, let me ask you one.
I'm going to make that blanket statement.
Then let me ask you a simple question. Are we naming our plows?
No, but that's another thing we can lobby for.
There you go.
That's another thing
we can lobby for. So what would you name it?
I don't put that kind of pressure on me right now.
Come on.
I'm looking at the list from Minnesota because they just announced it yesterday.
Okay.
The winner of the Name the Snow Plow contest.
Please be Bodie McBoated Face.
People got to vote for up to 8 choices.
Yeah.
So the final totals do differ from the overall number of votes. There were 32,588 unique voters in the Name a Snowplow contest in Minnesota.
How many were John Oliver?
Coming in at number 8, Barbie's Dream Plow.
That's okay.
It's topical.
Yeah, but
Barbie was a big movie.
Yeah, but then they should paint it pink.
Maybe they. Well, again, that was number 8.
Yeah.
Number 7, The Fast and the Furious.
Okay, I get it. A clever wordplay.
Sure. Number 6, You're Killing Me Squalls.
That's funnier.
You think? I am not liking that so much.
Well, I have a
personal,
you don't love personal stories about young kids connecting through baseball.
That's why I don't get it.
Yep.
Number 5 for the NAMA Snowplow Contest in Minnesota, Beyond Slay.
That's amazing. Wait, that was what? Number what?
Number 5.
Boo, that should be like number 2.
Beyond Slay with 6,016 votes. Number 4, Wapanate is the Dakota word for snowplow. I'm sure I mispronounced that. I apologize. That got 6,266 votes. Number 3, the snowplow naming contest, Dolly Ploughton.
Did you notice how like we were like, yeah, great. And then like the earnest person's like, this is the word for it in my language. We're like, that's good. That's a good
stuff. You know, Dolly Ploughton, number 3. Number 2. Clark W. Bliswold.
That's better. Beyond Slay is far and away better than Dolly Ploughton.
Ploughton. Dolly Ploughton.
I don't like that one at all.
Number 1.
Hold on.
Number 1.
Hold on.
And the winner of this year's Name a Snowplow Contest in Minnesota. Taylor Drift. Well, she's everywhere. She is everywhere. She's everywhere. Taylor Swift, Taylor Drift. She's going to rule the world.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pretty much going to rule the world one day.
But you know what? Here's the thing. If Taylor Swift decided one day that she wanted to become our leader, I feel like she would be a benevolent leader. You know,
we would all have friendship bracelets and we'd sit around and solve the world's problems at a slumber party.
Would you rather it be her or would you rather it be a literal Bond villain that is Elon Musk?
I would take Taylor Drift in a heartbeat.
Thank you.
Stay with us. When we return, the news is on the way, followed by the incredible Todd Alba program from noon until 2 p.m. So I hope you will stay with us. Thank you, everybody, for listening and calling and texting and watching on the stream. And if you ever want to have some fun, boy, join the people on the StreamYard. They have a whole separate party going on.
Oh, my God,
over
yeah.
There.
Yeah. Andrew from Maine made it to the stream
today.
Oh,
very cool. Yeah. Thank you all so very, very much. I hope you find some joy today. Get outside. It's so nice out, and you have the chance to share it. Don't go away. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.